everyone, and welcome to episode number 135 of the Magic Beans podcast. My name is Cracker, and I will be your host for this episode, and I am joined by my very good mate, Chewy. How are you, buddy?
I'm really good, mate. How are you?
Excellent. Very, very good. Had a good week so far, which is nice. Tomorrow, league kicks off. It's always exciting. Looking forward to this one.
Have you got Teferi's puzzle box on standby, ready to pull the names out?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. It's become a bit
of a
tradition.
It's the only Teferi-related card I am allowed to be affiliated with. All the other Teferi cards can get lost. Actually, that's not true. I like some of the Teferi creatures, like Mage of Zephyr and stuff like that. He's like the triple blue and two, and he's like, actually, yeah, he's got Teferi's ability, like opponents can't cast instants kind of thing.
Okay.
But it's a creature. You can kill it.
I played Teferi's Moat in the sideboard in Standard for a little while there. Okay. So you just name a colour and then it moats that colour. So unless they've got flying creature, that colour can't attack. So 5 mana, blue, white and 3 for an enchantment. Ooh, maybe I should put that in my...
Nah, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, okay.
No, that seems unnecessary to go in your Enchantress deck.
Yeah.
Or shrines, are you thinking?
Three other opponents... You know, might have a number of different colours, but yeah, we can see how we go.
Yeah, if you're playing with Shorty, then you know,
just name red.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I've started just tinkering, maybe building a couple of commander decks this week. Got some Grenzo Dungeon Warden red black gobbo tribal, and some Teemer Elementals in Maelstrom Wanderer. Just a little pile, just slowly forming the decks that they'll one day become. We'll see.
And where do you find cards for those, Chewy?
Oh, from Josh and Pat's MTG Bazaar Cracker. Where else? Do you know who Josh and Pat's are?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. So for those who don't, they are a Facebook auction page where you can bid on physical Magic cards 7 nights a week. They have premium auctions on the weekend and Win It Now posts where it's just first in, first served. They've just got the best communication and packaging I've seen for any Magic seller out there. Full-time auctioneer means that packaging and communications are just instant and second to none, and they get things out to you at a great price. So jump over to jpmtgbazaar.com.au, give their page a follow, get bidding on some cards, pick up some bargains, and tell them that the Beans sent you. Do us a solid.
That's right. Yeah. Josh and Pat's they're our sponsor, and they're supporting us with the leagues which we've got, part of our tournament series. And that's one of the things we're going to spend a bit of time talking about, even though we started on Commander. We're not actually really talking about Commander specifically, but you know,
We should do a cast on our approach to Commander deck building, though, because we all kind of do it slightly differently, don't we? So it'd be a nice little roundtable discussion.
Yeah.
We'll put that one in the list of things to do when they... Well, there's not going to be any sets coming out for like 3 months or something.
6 weeks or something like that.
Yeah. So
September sometime.
We're not going to have the normal previews at the time we have normally expected them. So, anyway.
I like it. Good idea.
Yeah.
So we have a few things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a little bit of news this week, our upcoming event, and get into some Pioneer chat, I think, for a little while. So, first off, there is a play-in qualifier this weekend on Arena, and it's Alchemy Horizons Sealed Best of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, and I've heard this from a bunch of different places, the Alchemy Limited set is actually really good. Like, apparently, it's a really fun, like, draft experience and stuff. Like, even though the cards are all super wordy, that, you know, a lot of people are really digging it. You know, content creators and things. I guess they're the only ones who get to play it because, you know, they get to expense it all. for the rest of us, I don't think anyone cares.
Yeah, so. I did one seal just because I was curious. And
How'd you find it?
It was confusing. But I ended up going 4-3. My deck was pretty good. The cards that you can discard a card of the color or the basic land and... transform them, whatever it's called. They're interesting. It's an interesting design space. It's I don't know though. Like it is really really wordy, and something that It still felt like Magic. Like, it's not like it was such a departure from the game that it felt ridiculous. But honestly, if it was just discarding a card or basic land of that card's color and getting just two of the abilities, not five, that would have been just as good and way less confusing. So, yeah. You know, jump the shark a little bit perhaps on the design space. But, you know, it's an experiment. It's Alchemy. We want them to push the boundaries of design and come up with new and interesting things because, you know, we want innovation. We like that. But it was, just a bit. But the gameplay itself, you know, it was a good draft format. Like, I didn't feel like it was like, my opponent, you know, played this super aggressive deck or just drew their big bomb and I lost. It felt, you know, relatively balanced and the games were interactive. So, you know, no complaints there. So that's all you want.
That's what you want in a limited format.
Yeah. It was just that, you know, the mental bandwidth to remember the cards and, you know, absorb it knowing that you're never going to use it again. Like it was, you know, you've got to really want to play the format or just be like a complete draft addict. But yeah, having something that I've got no interest in playing, you know, in a constructed sense kind of took some of the appeal away from it for me. But plenty of people seem to be playing it. And if there's a playing qualifier this weekend, hopefully they get good numbers. And because I just like the idea of limited playing qualifiers and I want to have more of those. So if you're interested, if you're that way inclined, you know, please do play it this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. At least with Arena, it's probably the easiest platform ever to track different abilities and stats on creatures.
Mm.
Like the actual client itself does a really good job of showing when it's got flying or first strike or whatever with all the little symbols and things, and then hovering over it, it's all very clear, even if you do have to scroll to get through all the lines of text on the card.
Yeah.
So that's probably like the one upside there. There is another one as well happening at the end of July. Same again, so Alchemy sealed. And then day two is going to draft formats. So,
yeah, previously it was a single draft that you had to play until you got like 7 wins or whatever it was. And people just felt like that was such a grind. So they've split it in half. So if you have 3 wins, if you go 3-0 in the first draft, then you get qualification to the next one. And then if you're 3-0 that, then you get the big bucks. So I think that's pretty good. You know, it gives you... You know, the drafting part's, you know, one of the most enjoyable parts of Limited. So an extra chance to do that. And it also means you get more packs, which is
true.
You know, even better. So a bit more value if you make day two and then 3-0 your draft.
Yeah. Nice. All right. It's probably about enough about Alchemy.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on.
Hey, speaking of Alchemy, no. we've got some anthologies coming. Which we got announced, I believe it was yesterday, probably today in Australia time, was the 20th in the States. I think it was probably overnight for us. But we've got some new anthologies coming. So this is the 6th one for Historic, and it's going to be the first one for Explorer. So they are available on the 28th of July, so a week from today, until October 5th. So they do this kind of limited run thing where you can buy the anthologies for either 4,000 gems or 25,000 gold. And each bundle contains 4 copies of the 20 powerful, iconic, or popular cards is the way that they say it. But it usually ends up being a pretty good deal because otherwise you've got to just go with the wildcard option. You've got to have, you know, lots of rare wildcards to do that. So 25,000 gold for, there won't be 20 rares, but you get 4 copies of each. So I think it stacks up pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's not bad value. It's a lot better than the, you know, the previous wildcard bundles that they've had on offer. And
yeah.
I did say on a earlier episode, might have even been last week, that, you know, I hope they have it at a price point that's affordable. And I think this feels about right. Like the cards that we've got, you know, there's rares, mythics, there's commons and uncommons. And from the couple of cards that they've had previewed so far, it seems like it's going to be a pretty worthwhile investment.
Yeah, I actually haven't bought any of the anthologies outright before. Like, I just didn't see the value in them, but I think I probably will for this Explorer one, just because it's the format I feel like I'm going to play the most, and the 3 cards we've got so far, it's pretty strong. And
yeah, copies
of each of them seems good. So Historic, we have got just 3 cards previewed for this so far. The first one is, Well, you know about this one. It's a shrine.
So I've got this card as a commander, actually. So, Goshen Tie of Life's Origin. Now, is this not already on Arena? Is this out of a pre-con or something?
I think it's a commander.
Okay. Yeah. So,
or something else.
Pretty good for Historic Brawl, just quietly. I think this is definitely a plant for that. So Goshen Tie of Life's Origin, 3 and a green for a 3/4 legendary enchantment creature shrine. And it has Wooburg, tap, return target enchantment from your graveyard to the battlefield. Whenever Goshen Tie of Life's Origin or another non-token shrine enters the battlefield under your control, create a 1/1 colorless shrine enchantment creature. So all of those things that go for each shrine you control. So, you know, the shrines. You get all these extra triggers. So, yeah, Goshen Tie does cray-cray things and comes in with one as well. So, pretty cool from a, obviously a historic brawl plant here, but a cool one, you know.
It's not going to be your meta deck in like just the normal historic queues. Five-color shrines is probably not, you know, burning through the ladder, but it's a lot of fun when it goes off, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a banger.
There's an old banger. There's a boomer card here.
Yeah, Tarmogoyf. A boomer, not a banger. Yeah,
it's
like
a boomer. Tarmogoyf, 1 and a green. It is a creature Lurgoyf. It is star, and then its power, its toughness is star plus 1, and its power is equal to the number of cards in all graveyards. Card types among all cards in all graveyards, and its toughness is that plus 1. So it comes in as effectively a 0/1, assuming there's nothing in the graveyard, and then it gets +1/+1 for an instant, +1/+1 for a sorcery, land, creature, enchantment, artifact, etc., etc. So historically, like, the best creature in Modern for a long time.
Yeah, back in the day,
I think it was in the argument for that.
It was in the argument for best 2-drop of all time. Yeah, absolutely. If not best creature, sure.
Yeah, definitely, very dominant. Lots of history around this being picked over the foil Tarmogoyf saga at the PT. I'm sure you remember that one, Chewy.
Oh yeah, yep. And I also had a mate of mine who went, "Oh, I think this card's going to be good," and pre-ordered 2 play sets of foils at like $4 a card or something.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and then it just, obviously went ridiculous from there.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't see a lot of play in standard. It wasn't actually great. And that's why I'm not sure it'll be great in historic.
It's just whether it's got a home, really. It's not going to completely warp the metagame, but there might be some sort of green-based mid-range deck out there that just needs that, you know, extra hit, and it can find a home there for sure.
And the last card is, I imagine, really cast for its actual mana value, and that is Avacyn, Angel of Hope, which is 5 and white, so 8 mana. She's a legendary creature angel, and it's 8/8 with indestructible, vigilance, and flying. And the crucial line of text, other permanents you control have indestructible.
So reanimate a target, right?
Yeah, definitely. Seems good in like Godfrey's Gift or something like that even.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I don't mind that. That's not a bad option. Maybe that's the thing that the gift decks need to pop it over the line. But yeah, is it good in just good enough for historic? I'm not sure, but it's cool.
We're lacking a lot of the exile effects that you get in like the older formats that keep this down.
Yeah,
so there's no like Solitude. There's no Path of Exile, Source to Plowshares.
Yeah,
there's the March, but you'd need to exile a lot of white cards.
Oh, yeah.
to get to the manner of getting rid of Avacyn. So, yeah, I mean, again, not typically a fair card. It's not played in a mono-white beatdown deck, but it's cool. I like it.
Yeah. Enough, again, about
Historic.
Historic, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, they're interesting cards. The anthologies are always like an interesting injection to the format. So,
yeah.
It's definitely worth keeping an eye on for...
Yeah.
Like I said, Historic Brawl as well.
And I think, you know, the Shrine Creature Brawl Plant and then the Goyf and Avacyn, you know, niche cards that, you know, may find a home. And if they do, they'll be good. Otherwise, they'll just, you know, it's probably not a bad thing just having Goyf on Arena for the future anyway. So, you know, I don't hate that. I think it's a mythic on here as well. So
yeah, that'd make sense.
So that makes them easier to craft than if they were a rare.
It actually does.
Yeah. But Explorer.
Yeah.
Explorer is something that we're a little more interested in. It's a little more.
Very much so.
Yeah. So there's three cards here that are that are previewed. Which one of these three excites you the most?
Excites me.
Excites you.
I don't know that I'm likely to play any of them. I guess Kalatas is probably like the most likely for me. Well, actually, maybe not. Like the favorite Hoplite, I think, is actually really strong. Now that I've just said like two of them, the Boros heroic decks are really good in Pioneer, and I think they're really close in Historic as well with the 10th District Legionnaire and all that kind of stuff. And
absolutely.
Favorite Hoplite is a 1-mana 1/2 with heroic. So whenever you cast a spell that targets it, you put a +1/+1 counter on it and prevent all damage that be dealt to it.
That's a really important clause as well.
It really is.
Because it helps you protect it. And what I like about Favorite Hoplite is normally with these historic decks, if you spend mana in your own turn to kill their creatures and make them spend their pump spells, so the pump spells are keeping their creatures alive, not forcing through damage. That's what you do against, Infect in Modern, for example, as well. It's a percentage points thing, but this kind of gets around that because you go, I'll kill this with a lightning strike or something. And they can go, well, I'm just going to pump it and it's still going to force through damage because it keeps that +1 counter. So it's a really, really strong card. And like you said, it's got a home straight in as a 4-of, probably with the one that's got double strike. So
yeah,
it's 100%. Some explosive draws that this enables.
Yeah, the fact that it's a 1-drop as well, like I think all the good ones in Explorer at the moment are at the 2 mark is where they start. So this is like easily the best 1-drop in the heroic deck. So
yeah, it's huge. Yeah, absolutely.
Really good to see this. And given that we are now looking at these as directly feeding into a complete Pioneer set at some stage, and like I said, the Boros heroic deck is really, really strong. Really, tier one at the moment. So
yeah, good absolutely. To see
that they're kind of putting the groundwork in for that.
Yeah, and I guess we'd mentioned it last week, but we should have probably framed this discussion with these anthologies are in the Explorer anthologies, and this is just the first of them. These are the first of the 20 cards that we've seen out of Anthology 1. This is how they are going to introduce these cards, and Explorer will eventually become historic. In a sense, with a little asterisk on that, because it won't have every card from Historic, but it'll have all the relevant cards. Pioneer.
Yeah. No, you're
my
right.
My bad. Yes. Yeah.
You've got Explorer and Historic on the same page that we're talking about.
I know.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. This is how we get the cards in for the sets to get us to that point. So, you know, they may do some of the flashback sets, which we've seen previously as well, where, you know, you can do like a draft format where it's not like the entire 260 cards from like the Amonkhet block, where they took the three sets or two sets, I can't remember what it was, and they kind of smushed them together and you know, made like a draft format out of it. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that, and I think that's also a really good way to do it, because then you can grind through limited rather than just having to buy the anthologies. I think that's a really neat way of kind of summing it up. But yeah, this is kind of like the Pioneer Masters, if you would, for Arena.
Exactly. So you mentioned Kalatas really briefly. So Kalatas or Kalidas, Trader of Get, 2 black and 2 for a 3/4 with lifelink. If a non-token creature an opponent controls would die, exile it and create a 2/2 zombie. Then you can pay 2 and a black, sacrifice another zombie or vampire, put a 1/1 counter on Kalatas. So
put two plus one counters
on him. So he grows very, very big. He's got lifelink. He stops things going to the graveyard. Well, creatures going to the graveyard from your opponent. So a little bit of disruption there. And yeah, basically an army in a can, and is a really, really good card against the aggressive decks. If you untap with Kalidas in play against a an aggressive deck, it is becomes really difficult for them to beat you from there. So it's a pretty good card to see that you know, introduced in. And in a lot of the sort of mid-range decks in, I almost said Historic again, in Pioneer, this card does show up in, you know, some of the more popular decks. So this is a really good addition. So pretty happy with that. And there's another card here.
So it maybe just there for a second. It shuts off Cat Oven.
Yes.
Really importantly, like, you know, it exiles the cat as soon as they sacrifice it. So that's a particularly good one, which means they can't pop off with Mayhem Devil to kill it. So it's really difficult to deal 4 points of damage with Mayhem and Devil if you can't keep bringing cats back.
Like, yeah, it's possible, true.
But it'll be difficult to do. And also interacts Croxa really well, exactly what I was about to say, in the Rakdos kind of aggro decks where they've got Croxa and a couple of other things there where they get exalt too. So
what I really like about this crack is it's really good against opposing Croxas, but really good with your own Croxa, because with the trigger on the stack, you can sacrifice it and get a get 2+1 counters.
Exactly.
For 5 mana. So it's a pretty good 5 mana play, doing the Croxa thing and then getting a, you know, making your guy a 5/6. So, pretty good.
And also shuts down, is it Bin Chickens? Is the other thing as well.
Yes, it does. If it would die, exile it instead. So you can still put things into the graveyard from your hand.
You can mill them in there, but yeah, it's...
You're not bringing them back from combat.
It's pretty common that Artlight Phoenix will die because it's only got two toughness.
Yeah, absolutely. And, so,
yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah, good card. Very, very good card. There's another good card here, though, and probably for a deck that probably didn't need a great deal of help right now, but in the colors of your favorite Planeswalker, we've got Supreme Verdict.
Yeah.
So, which is one,
two...
One white, white, blue.
One white, white, and blue, yeah. And yeah, destroy all creatures. This spell can't be countered. This is like the best wrath, best four mana wrath ever, probably. The fact that it can't be countered.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, the color restrictions are a little tricky, but yeah, it obviously just goes straight into blue, white control or Esper control. This is just super annoying, basically.
Yeah. And with Teferi, you get to play it
at instant speed.
Yeah, exactly. they've got Wrath of God already for the blue white control decks. This is an upgrade. It's not like an enormous upgrade. It's not like they only had a 5 mana wrath and now they have a 4. But yeah, this is, you know, percentage points better than a Wrath of God. Particularly like if you've got like a fish style deck where you're looking to, you know, get out a few creatures and then, you know, hit their sweeper with a negate to get in an extra attack and things like that. You know, something like the blue white spirits or something along those lines. You know, the blue white control just gained a bunch of points against decks like that. Against other decks, you know, it's just functionally the same as Wrath, but so they're not losing anything, but because the mana's so good. Yeah, but correct. In those sort of fish style lists, Supreme Verdict, obviously a lot better than Wrath of God.
Yeah. So we were actually just looking at Pioneer decks as you know, like what cards do we think we could expect to see? You know, what's been doing well recently? And we started off by looking at one of the most recent Pioneer challenges from Magic Online, which is, you know, kind of currently the main place where it's been played. And Blue White Control is the, you know, the winning deck from that. And going through the list, it was actually the only card in there that isn't already on Arena. Everything else was already on there. So.
Yeah, so like Teferi, Wandering Emperor, Farewell, Verdict, Absorb, Censor, Veto, Memory Deluge, the spot removal spells, the Portable Holes, the Shark Typhoons, the mana base. It's all just there already. So if you're playing blue-white control with Supreme Verdict, you are playing a Pioneer deck against a bunch of Explorer decks.
Yeah, and it's a tier one Pioneer deck as well. Yeah. Like not just a, you know, third string kind of janky version. This is like top tier, you know,
strong. Yeah, maybe the best deck in the format. And you're playing it against a bunch of Explorer decks. So, yeah, absolutely. So, interesting. Do you have a wish list?
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you want to see? So we've seen 3 of 20 cards out of this anthology. What do you want to see in the remaining 17?
I mean, I'm greedy. I want Treasure Cruise. I want Treasure Cruise, and specifically, yes. I wanted it common. Don't be double up shifting it to rare or any of that nonsense that you want to do, Wizards. Don't be greedier than me. look, Treasure Cruise is one of those cards that, I mean, obviously in all the Izzet decks I like to play. It's just the best thing you can be doing. Like, I've tried porting decks back from Pioneer to Explorer, and you get really close, and then you're like, all right, I just need Treasure Cruise. And it's like, we don't have Treasure Cruise, and the next closest thing costs 4 mana, not 1, to draw 2 cards, not 3. It's just that's where, like, you kind of miss out with those, you know, aggressive, disruptive decks where you're playing a lot of instants and sorceries, and you just need a refill. That's how you do it.
Yeah, you need a Ancestral Recall every now and then in your life, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, even if it is sorcery speed, I'll take it.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'd like to see that too. I think there's a bunch of decks out there that could really, really benefit from that. There's, you know, the Izzet Phoenix decks are the obvious ones, but it's playable in, you know, a number of other spots as well. So I think it'll be a good place for that for sure. I would like to see something a little bit left field. I'd like to see Rally the Ancestors, which is a... it's like from Fate Reforged, I think. It's white and X for an instant. Return each creature card with mana value, X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Exile those creatures at the beginning of your next upkeep, then exile Rally the Ancestors. Having just like a creature-based combo deck where you can, you know, rally a bunch of stuff and then, you know, have some sort of sack effect for value, you know, Viscera Seer type shenanigans. Having something like that in the format would be super, super cool, I think, in Explorer, and then, you know, a solid tier 2 option in Pioneer as well. But I think it could be a really fun, interesting deck to play in Explorer until we get Pioneer, which is, you know, years away in reality. So
yeah, that was a really fun standard deck. Like, watching that, they got to do some truly ridiculous things, just rallying back, and they were playing Collected Company as well, I think.
Yes, yeah. So which we've already got. So
yeah, and then you've got, I mean, there's lots of different options for sacrifice outlets. I'm pretty sure Blood Artist is in Explorer, and then there's also Woe Strider as a sac outlet. So you get scry value. So that plus, Viscera Seer is the other one, which does the same thing as Woe Strider, but it is 3 mana.
Blood Artist is not. It's in Alchemy, but it's been alchemied. Yeah, according to Scryfall. But yeah.
No, that's...
But
that's,
I mean, Blood Artist would be another good addition at some point as well. So yeah.
Yeah, is that in Pioneer? Is that legal? I imagine so.
No.
No, okay. Too old?
Nope. Yeah,
it just gets printed so often.
Yeah, just assume
it's everywhere.
It was in Crimson Vow Commander and Double Masters and such, but it's from Avacyn Restored.
Okay.
So, yeah, and like Secret Lairs and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah you need a drain effect to go along with it. There'll be something that will do that for you.
But Mayhem Devil's fine. But,
yeah, sure.
That does the job. What else? Definitely what else is on your list?
So one of the other cards that we were talking about, I mean, it kind of just upgrades. It's disappeared for me. I can't find it. It's the 1 red mana from Origins. It's an instant. It deals shock. And if you have spell mastery,
It's Fiery
Impulse.
Yeah.
Fiery Impulse deals 2 damage to target creature. And then it has spell mastery. If there are 2 or more instant or sorcery cards in your graveyard, Fiery Impulse deals 3 damage to that creature instead.
Yeah, legit. I like it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that, yeah.
Again, in like tempo decks, Izzet decks, or even just mono red, you really want something that is killing Greasefang. And holding up 1 mana versus 2 for a lightning strike or something like that is a really big deal. You're trying to be as efficient as you can. So that one is one I actually went looking for the other day. I was like, oh, cool, I'll build this deck. And I'm like, Origins, that's actually a really long time ago now.
Yeah, that's... a long, long time ago. But speaking of killing Greasefang, I want to see Abrupt Decay, which is green-black for an instant, can't be countered. and destroy target non-land permanent with converted mana cost 3 or less. So just such a good way to deal with, you know, annoying cheap planeswalkers and, you know, spirits and, you know, there's just a lot of targets.
It's a great card.
Really good
card. It can be really frustrating to play against, but it's such a versatile removal spell. I think that's an excellent call for that one.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Absolutely. Mm. Did you have a third? Because I know Shorty wants to see Is It Charm? So of course he does.
Is It Charm? I think if you wanted to give Mono Red a buff, which you probably do, it's actually probably not as good as it should be at the moment,
okay,
all things considered. I think that you would like to see Monastery Swift Spear.
Yeah.
Coming into the format. I think that and, you know, potentially Eidolon of the Great Revel as well, if you want to really punish people. That's those two cards would really push kind of Mono Red to being right at the very top of the format again.
I doubt they'd release them in the same anthology bundle. I agree. But it'd be good to have, you know, one of each. That would be very, very good. So,
Actually, one more that just jumped to mind as well is Nykthos. I don't think Nykthos is in.
It is not Arena. But no,
and
no.
That's great for the devotion decks. Mono green devotion is everywhere in Pioneer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think most of the mono green deck exists. It just needs Nykthos to unlock it, really.
Yeah. So, and it really does.
Yeah. Yeah, the games where you draw Nykthos to when you don't in mono green are night and day, really. So, yeah. Last card for me on my wish list, and it's a bit of a favorite card of mine. I've played a bunch of it in Highlander and Commander and such, but Bring to Light. So 3 green, blue sorcery. Search your library for a creature, instant, or sorcery card with mana value less than or equal to the number of colors spent to cast this spell. Exile this and shuffle. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost. So you can cast this for Wooburg and go and get Niv-Mizzet. Or, you know, Wraths or, you know, creature, instant, sorcery. Like it's a, you know, toolbox deck type stuff. And Scape Shift, exactly. So
have Scape Shift already.
Yeah, we do. So it's a really cool tutor. Like it's powerful, but
yeah,
it costs 5 and you need to invest a whole bunch of colors in it as well. So it feels on the right power level for Explorer. And, you know, it would mean that the Niv-Mizzet mid-range decks that kind of exist might actually get a bit more play. So, yeah, pretty cool.
And when you hit Niv, when you cast Niv off it, then you can flip over another Bring to Light.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 2 colors and then you can go again.
Exactly right.
Niv to Light is cool. I think that deck is actually pretty sweet. So, I would be down to that. J-Mud's
pumping his fist in the air at the moment in furious agreement with us. So, it's... And I think it'd be pretty good for Explorer as well. So,
yeah. Yep. 100%. I mean, I enjoy playing the Lotus Field combo deck. I don't know that anybody enjoys playing against it. That would need quite a few cards to make that work. Not a massive amount, but, you know, you need like Omniscience and Approach of the Second Sun, and there's like a few, like Sylvan Scrying. There's a bunch of just kind of random things. So it is kind of one of the pillars of the format. They actually went as far as printing a precon for it.
Wow.
Like the Pioneer precon. So it wasn't like the full meta version, but it was probably, you know, it included like all of the Lotuses and it included, you know, like the Viziers and like the untap effects, the hidden strings. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing them pushing some of these cards into the format as well. But you do need all of the pieces to make that one work. It's, you know, there's always flex slots, but not as many as like, oh, I don't have this 2-drop creature, I can just play a different one. There's just like, if you don't have, you know, Mastermind's Acquisition or something like that, the deck, you know, has a much harder time. So
exactly, yeah. Okay, so I mean, we wait and see. We'll get some, we'll get some previews over the next coming days, weeks.
Yep.
Sure. When does it come out?
So we will get the full list of cards by next Wednesday and then next Saturday, I believe, or next the 28th of July. So these will be in our Explorer League. We will be seeing these cards.
Midway in as well, right? So very interesting.
Like a week into our 3 weeks or whatever it is. So expect some change-ups halfway through.
Yeah, okay, very interesting. And it'd be interesting to see people trying to get their games in before or people wanting to hold off. So
people will be waiting, right? Like that's what we've seen before where it's like, oh, I really need
Omnath to be banned. There's a ban announcement coming out next week, so I'm not going to play any games. So, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's definitely what the pattern will most likely be. So we've talked a lot about Pioneer.
We have.
Do we want to talk about some Pioneer events and lists?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, we kind of talked, you know, in passing about the Pioneer Challenge and what was going on there, but there was an event that you found that happened. It was one of the DreamHack RCQs.
Yeah. And
from like a week ago, I think.
Yeah, from the 16th. I found a list of the, you know, any event that had deck lists reported and found some of the ones with the, you know, most players. And these are kind of the events that we would be having at our like store champs, trying to get into our regional qualifier, the Good Games mm-hmm. version of events here. So one of them had 53 players, another one 64. So pretty good turnout if these are held at an LGS. And hopefully this is, you know, something that akin to what we can expect at some of ours. So the first one was a 53 player at Spanky's Card Shop. Shout out Spanky. three Boros heroic decks, a Bin Chickens, a Mono Red, Mono Green Devotion, Is It Prowess, and wait for it, Gruul Goblins. So no blue-white control. Nope. Maybe they just got heroic out, or maybe the Gruul Goblins just crushed them all day. I'm not sure, but really interesting representation in the top eight there. And, you know, got those favorite hoplites big and got them turned sideways early and put three into the top eight. And I think with the eventual winner of the event as well. So what do you make of this top eight?
It is an aggressive metagame, man.
Oh yeah,
like there's a plan for all of these decks, and it involves the red zone.
Absolutely,
none of these are even close. Like I was just like, what is Gruul Goblins? Yeah, looks pretty fun actually. Not gonna lie, because you get like Legion Warboss and Goblin Rabble Master, and then Ataka's Command.
Hello.
And Metallic Mimic, so that's like a Goblin Lord. And then you just get like a bunch of Goblin Makers. It just seems really fun. And then Collector Company for value, because why not?
Well, so yeah, if you're playing green, might as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is pretty cool. This is just a beatdown deck. Man, these are all beatdown decks. Like, I'm going to look. Is It Prowess, I guess, is probably the most interactive, you would say. It's got, well, already it's got a bunch of copies of Aether Gust in the main. And some negates and a disdainful stroke. But yeah, wow, that's again, they're playing Soulscar Mage and Monastery Swift Spear. Like these are one drops that they're trying to then just pump with Young Pyromancer going wide. So like these are
they're decks, man. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
I think we need Teferi's Moat.
True.
Yeah. I think it is a hyper aggressive. That's what I mean. Like you can't be dirtling in this format. You just get punished. You can't not play enough lands. You can't try to do anything cute. Like this is almost like modern where you have to be super efficient or you just die.
There's a lot of actual turn four kills in here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I could see. I mean, I guess these are interesting when you look at Spanky's Card Shop as like a slice of the metagame. And I don't know that you could call this representative of all of Pioneer, but it certainly gives you like a pretty good view of like, that's what these people are doing and that's what was successful. So maybe, you know, maybe there was a lot of like Lotus Field. And Lotus Field would just get eaten alive by most of these decks.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So without, you know, doing a full, you know, dive into every deck that played there. I guess this is just representative of something you need to be prepared for. So if you're thinking about a deck that isn't, you know, an aggressive creature deck, you know, you need to make sure that you've got a plan against it. But also, if you are wanting to play an aggressive creature deck, you need to make sure that you have a plan for the mirror or the mirror-like match. So it's, and, you know, the Goblin deck, you know, sounds like it should probably be a bit of a meme, but having token creators and, you know, in Krenkos and things, but then having Collected Company and things to just, you know, go bigger and wider than your opponent, you know, just might be what the doctor ordered. But the, I'm not surprised to see, you know, three copies of the heroic deck and the heroic deck being the one that takes it down as well. So it's a fast format. So you've got
I'm looking at heroic. They're playing Silence. Two copies of Silence in the main.
Just nice your Supreme Verdict.
Your opponents can't cast spells this turn. It's like, your opponent's sitting on three or four mana in blue-white control. In the upkeep, you go Silence you. And just untap dead them.
It's just like one mana time walk, effectively.
Yeah, that's wow. Yeah. I didn't even realize that was in the format, but
no,
there you
go. I've played that in my favorite deck of all time as a sideboard card, and it certainly does work in those spots. So yeah,
your favorite deck of all time ad nauseum. That's what you were doing it in, or
I talk about it ad nauseum. Yeah, but yeah, it's. I think I've gone three or four casts now without mentioning Krakelin Ironwork. So, you know, I'm doing well. I like it. And another event that I had a look at was actually at Haruya, which is the Tokai King Cup. This one had 64 players and, a bit of a different but almost the same in a way result. So, one mono green devotion, one blue white control, a mono red, an aggressively slanted blue white spirits, and four copies of Rakdos aggro. So, yeah, super, super aggressive. And it was a Rakdos aggro mirror in the finals as well. So it's a deck, man. It's a real, real deck. And we've seen Rakdos mid-range in Explorer. And it's quite good, and this isn't too far away. So Tenacious Underdog got that, Croxa got that, Kalidus getting that very, very shortly, Bonecrusher Giant, Graveyard Trespasser, and Bloodtithe Harvester, Fable of the Mirror Breaker, Fatal Push Strangle, Dreadbore is something that we don't have currently.
I'd like to see that. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, it's a great card. Thoughtseize, a main deck copy of Unlicensed Hearse in the winning deck, as well as one Damping Sphere in the main.
Yep.
Two Lava Coil, and going right over the top, going big with a copy of Invoke Despair, which is doing the, as I mentioned, you've got to have a way to think about the mirror and, you know, what can you do? And the first thing is trying not to be the smaller mid-range deck. So coming pre-sideboarded with a hearse, you know, to get rid of the, you know, opposing Croxes and Underdogs, but also just being able to just absolutely value, you know, 3-for-1 people. So for those who may not have seen it, it pops up on the letter every now and then. 4BB1 for a sorcery. Target opponent sacrifices a creature. If they can't, they lose 2 life and you draw a card. Then repeat this process for an enchantment and a planeswalker. So it's a big draw spell, but it also kills Kiki Jikis, it kills planeswalkers and, you know, random enchantments as well. Like Kiki Jiki kind of gets double done at being an enchantment creature. So if you're expecting a bunch of those in the format, then yeah, it's huge. And, Lava Coil in the main deck to take out opposing Kalidus's as well. Kalitai? Kalidus's as well. So I like this. You know, they came prepared for the metagame, I think.
Yeah, well, the things that jump out to me, like you're talking about the mirror, obviously that's part of it, but you talk like Damping Sphere is usually a sideboard card for Lotus Field because it means that your Lotus is only tapped for one colorless mana, which is real bad. And then Unlicensed Hearse and Go Blank seem awesome against Greasefang decks.
Oh, yeah.
Go Blank is target player discards two cards and then exile all cards from that player's library. GG.
It's huge. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, this seems really strong.
Yeah, and I think this is like pillar of the format type starting point. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think you're not sure what to play, then yeah, play this and practice the mirror would be the advice I'd give.
Either that or just pack a deck that can comfortably play for Anger of the Gods. So you can just like exile everything and hope they haven't brought back a Croxa before you get to do that.
Yeah. But, or you play your hearse as well. Yeah. So
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting. These are really, really aggressive.
Like really aggressive, right?
Yeah. Like it's somewhere between fifth and eighth. It doesn't say where blue white control fits, but that's the only control deck that we see. And that one, this player's gone deep. They've got a Jinkataxius, Progress Tyrant.
Wow.
A Dream Trawler, couple of Fat Caster Mages, Torrential Gearhulks.
I rate that.
Couple of Shark Typhoons, dig three times. I mean, like it's kind of the greatest hits, and clearly this is a person who's playing some of their personal favorites.
But I think they're playing a list that's more proactive, right? So they're not just sitting back trying to kill everything and counter everything and hoping to win with Teferi or a single Shark Typhoon. This is someone who's just trying to get the game done. But
they're looking to stabilize and then turn the corner really quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And Fat Custom Age, you know, it's a 5/6, does a great job of that. So
sure does.
Yeah.
And like two copies of Rest in Peace in the main.
Okay.
Because they knew what was coming, apparently.
Well, I like it. Man, Jinkataxius. Oh, I mean, that's just spicy, man.
He does cost 7.
He does, but...
And there's no ramp in this deck at all. So... But, you know, if you can get it into play, then it'll win you the game pretty quickly. Yeah,
absolutely. I'll be interested to see how often they sided it out.
But imagine in the top 8. That's a mulligan.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, like, super, super aggressive. Even the control deck is being proactive, which, you know, is control speak for aggressive, right? So I think that's a signpost for the format, really, right? So it's you really, really need to be fast or deal with fast decks. And even the Spirits deck, you know, I talked about the Spirits deck is one of those sort of fish style decks. This deck's got Portable Hole, Spell Pierce, Aether Gust, and it's banned. So it's got Collected Company, so it can trade one for one and then get things bigger. So the usual suspects, Selfless Spirit, Shacklegeist, it's got Skyclave Apparitions in the main, Mausoleum Wanderer, Spellqueller, Supreme Phantom. This one's playing Empyrean Eagle as well as an extra lord. Watcher of the Spheres, so creatures with flying cost one less to cast. Whenever another creature with flying enters the battlefield under your control, this gets +1/+1 till end of turn. Pretty good. Rattle Chains and Arcan of Emeria as well as a way to stop some of the more shenanigan-y decks, and is actually really good also against the heroic decks. You know, they can only cast one's pump spell a turn.
And also stop turns off all the haste things as well, right?
Yeah. And Lotus Field. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So, yeah, even the Spirits deck has come prepared. So you can't just pick up a list from, you know, a couple of months ago. Like people are trying to get the games done quickly in as few turns as possible. So even the decks that are packing counter spells are still trying to beat face as quick as they possibly can. So really, really interesting format, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look at all like it did when we kind of last did a big check-in. Mind you, looking across at the challenge, which is the Magic Online one, it's quite different, the metagame. So the winning deck list was, as we said before, was Blue-White Control. And then in second place, well, I mean, it's Rakdos again. It's slightly different to what we saw previously, but it's still a very similar kind of take. It's going a little bit bigger, a little bit more mid-range with like Goblin Dark Dwellers. But it's still, you know, Croxes and Graveyard Trespassers and Fable of the Mirror Breakers and all that kind of stuff. And then a spicy Abzan Greasefang deck, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like this deck quite a lot, actually. The Stitcher Supplier and the like putting stuff into the graveyard, but Grisly Salvage with a Bloom Command and Seder Wayfinder do a great, great job of putting Pahelion 2 into the bin, which is pretty cool. So, yeah, I like this. You know, Wither Bloom Command is a really versatile card that gives you a bit of interaction as well as progresses your game plan as well. So, I think this is a good choice, and this is a a card that does reach back into Modern in certain decks as well. So it's pretty cool.
I like it. It's an interesting take because normally we've seen like the Esper lists or the Mardu lists.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time I've seen kind of reaching into black-green. But it makes sense. Like Seder Wayfinder, really good. You know, finds your lands or puts things in the graveyard. And then, like you said, Wither Bloom Command as well, doing the same thing. And Grisly Salvage, instant speed. Look at the top five cards, put a creature or land from among them into your hand and put the rest in your graveyard, which is, I mean, to me, it just reads tap two, draw five cards. It's just great.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is pretty cool. And there's like a couple of like adding the green gives you some really good cards, but then you not having the blue cards or the red cards, you know, you're not getting Kiki Jiki and you're not getting the 1/4 legend by playing Esper or Mardu. So it does drop off a little bit in like having to play Rafine's Informant. So it's a 2-mana 2/1 that connives when it comes into play. Like it's not, you know, super exciting. You do get to play a Seeker's Chariot, which, you know, is just a good route to victory. And it's something that creates 3 permanents in a format that's going to try to, you know, attack you. And if you somehow don't get the job done with Pahelion and you've got the angel tokens floating around, then, you know, Chariot's kind of cute with that as well. And yeah, the Can't Stay Away is a great way to buy back your Grease Fang. So you can still cast that, which you can cast in the, you know, that's a key card. So not departing from the black white route, obviously, because you got to play Grease Fang, but it's a, it's still got that same core of Grease Fang Can't Stay Away and the disruption. So I like it. I think it's great.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's very all in. It feels closer to the Mardu version, but with kind of, it's kind of missing the more aggressive slants. Like you don't really have like a solid
which B plan. Chariot's your B plan, really. So, yeah,
but it's still full mana.
Yeah.
Like I agree. It is definitely like, and you know, like it's the thing to be doing, but.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong in your statement. I'm saying
It does well, but you're kind of all in on Greasefang doing its thing, but it will do that thing very consistently. So you're kind of just, like you always say, making your opponent have it. And if they don't, then they take, 10 or 12 or 14 or whatever.
And then you've got 2 4/4s hanging around. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So interesting. In fourth, there was, Lotus Field combo, the Vizier, however you want to call it, the nonsense that you get up to there. Which we've
If you don't know how that deck works, go check our VOD on our Twitch channel where we figure it out for the first time as well.
Correct. And then you can ignore Shorty and my commentary where we're just like, why doesn't Chris just win the game? And it's because he couldn't, because we don't know how spells work. But that's fine.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
But yeah, this deck is cool. It's worth understanding how this deck works in order to play against it. So
yeah.
You need to Yeah, need to absolutely. Yeah.
just get them dead.
Just quietly, just as I was scrolling over the cards in them, if you have a look at the extended art Odawara Soaring City, don't tell me that doesn't look like a Star Destroyer from
Star Wars. Oh, no, it is, definitely.
Yeah. Never put that together. There we go. Visual medium on an audio format. We're really good at this game. the next deck was another, in fifth place, was another blue-white control list. So Narset, Teferi, Wandering Emperor, Amiri's Call, Farewell Supreme Verdict, Absorb, Veto, Faithful Absence, Wiry Disruption, March, Memory Deluge, 4 Portable Hole, 4 Omen of the Sea, 4 Shark Typhoon.
Yeah, and this is a Yorion deck. This is 80 cards, which is why there's so many of all of those things.
And
Yorion is a powerful thing, right?
It's absolutely. Baneslayers and Lyra in the sideboard as well. So, it's... Yorion is a very, very powerful thing. And when you've got Portable Holes and Omen of the Sea to buy things back again, it's, and resetting your Planeswalkers, obviously. So, Yorion. And it's a 4/5 flyer, which is relevant. So, that's good. Sixth place, we have got Mono Green.
Yeah.
So all of the devotion stuff plus Khan. I really like these decks because Khan lets you get around the problem that ramp can have, which is not drawing a big thing, where Khan gives you multiple looks at a big thing, where, you can go and get a Sky Sovereign or a Great Henge or, Meteor Golem or whatever it is that you might need. But then you can also go and do like Chain Veil, Pestilent Cauldron weirdness and basically lock up the game and win that way. I'm not going to pretend I know how it works, but I know that there's a way that you can win there with those combination of cards that kind of just gets the job done. So, very cool deck, staple of the format. Please print Nykthos in the anthologies. And something that jumps out, you noticed this when we were just looking before the cast. So it's all green cards except for one that is... Blue, one that is black and red.
Very not. Yeah. Nicol Bolas, Dragon God. We're looking at the mana base and like, how does this work? I'm like, okay, you've got a single copy of Sylvan Caryatid, which makes mana of any color, but you need to make four colors of mana you don't have.
This deck has 14 basic forests.
Yeah. It also has 4 copies of Oath of Nyssa, which has got the hidden text of you may spend mana of any color to cast Planeswalker spells.
Yeah, and you can off the Storm the Festival Storm as the well. Festival. So you've got 8 cards in your deck that can sneak a Nikki B into play. So pretty cute. I like it. A bit like the Jin Gataxias that we saw earlier. Obviously, they're just going for a bit of spice and, trying to hit their opponent from an angle they don't quite expect. And I like it. I encourage this kind of deck building. I think it's...
you're probably better off making it a second copy of Nyssa Who Shakes the World, but like I appreciate the going for it.
Yeah. Look, results based thinking, they came 6th in the challenge, right? So clearly it's correct. Yeah,
100%. Next we've got another it's a bit different. We've got like a cat oven Rakdos deck, but they're playing 3 of the new Obnixilers as well. Kind of cool.
I like it. 4 copies of Claim the Firstborn with Witch's Oven, and with all of the aggressive decks getting around, that's not bad, really. The Unlucky Witness, chump blocks and gives you an extra card, replaces itself, which is great. Also good with Ob. Would have expected to see I expect to see Tenacious Underdog whenever I see Obnixilus. So, surprised not to see, some copies of this here. But this is a really, straight up just Rakdos sack. I'm just going to be as efficient, a lot of 4 obs, and just getting things done as quickly as possible. So, it's obviously went all right, came 7th in the event. So, I like it. And I wonder if Edel is Willy Edel. Not sure. Could be. Who's the pilot of this deck.
Yeah, I was wondering about that before too, actually.
And
then...
Rounding at the top 8, what do we got here? This is spicy.
is Niv-Mizzet Reborn.
Oh, yeah.
Omnath, Lurkers of Creation. So this is kind of the Scarab God. This is the Bring to Light deck we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of one-offs, you know, a lot of one-off creatures, a lot of interesting things to go and get. Bit of a toolbox mid-range kind of thing with only one copy of Deafening Clarion. You're going to need more of that than to keep up with all these aggressive decks. But
yeah, I'm just looking in the sideboard here, and it doesn't look like there's any more in the board either. No, there's not.
A couple of Fatal Pushes. Hedetsugu consumes all. Destroy each non-land permanent with a value mana value one or less.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good against
Exile or Graveyard. That seems pretty good against those kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, again, you're playing a toolbox deck that's ostensibly five colors with, you know, they're playing 28 lands, which is pretty great. And it doesn't look like any of them are
double faced.
No, they don't like the other interesting lands.
You've got a bunch of the triomes that cycle.
Yep.
But yeah, there's not the double face one. So you want to get multiple colors out of every one, not just pick a color. And yeah, you can go and get Niv-Mizzet with your four copies of Bring to Light, or you can get Nahiri online pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
The Carrier Tid ramps you really well. You can your Shan is useful against a lot of decks. Valky's good. Scarab God's obviously a powerhouse, and Niv-Mizzet's also just a 5-mana 6/6 flyer. It's just a good magic card that draws you, two or three cards. So yeah,
can you bring to light Valky and do the Tibalt thing? Is that how that works?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah,
because I think it works the same as like the Ultimatum, right? Where you hang on, let me read.
You search it. Yeah, you can cast it without paying its mana cost.
You can cast it. So yeah, you can.
Yeah, so you can bring to light Valky, which is pretty insane.
Well, it means you only need Simic. You don't need the other colors because you can cast two for it,
which is pretty bonkers. And yeah, the Colligan's Command and Abrupt Decay and Vanishing Verse, you can really easily go like one for one until you can cast your big spells and just kill them. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
So what did we learn, Chewy? What are the takeaways from reading all these deck lists? Pioneer.
Play more Anger of the Gods, definitely.
Yep.
That is definitely the advice that you kind of led with there. You want to be proactive. You can't dirtle. You can't sit back and just, if I can just live until turn six, like the game will be over by then. You'll just have the rug pulled out from under you. So absolutely you need to be assertive, if not aggressive, in this format, and if you're going to play one of the low to the ground aggressive decks, I think you need to have a plan, at least in the sideboard, for the mirror. So if you're going to play mono red and just play all of the prowess one drops and try to get your opponent as dead as quickly as possible, have a plan in your sideboard to beat them, to go bigger, or to deal with their key cards as well. And I think there's room for a combo deck
nerfing the combo decks was the thing. So like it used to be that you could do the Thassa's Oracle, Inverter of Truths. That was kind of a very dominant deck mm-hmm. when that was legal. And then you're able to do Thassa's Oracle, Underworld Breach. Turns out that Thassa's Oracle is a bit of a stupid magic card.
Yeah. So get rid of that.
They've effectively nerfed everything around it, which, is interesting. And then Lotus Field is kind of the only other combo-esque.
Well, Grease Fang's like a combo deck, right? So
yeah, I guess I don't think of it in the same way as that. Like when people say combo, I think of like one big turn where I kind of chain a bunch of spells and go off. For me, Storm is the epitome of a combo deck to me. Ad Nauseam is the epitome of like a combo deck where I'm trying to like do this one thing that I've spent ages setting up and
I guess you just want to be you want to be the unfair deck, I suppose. Yeah, like if people are trying to play, you know, fast, aggressive, but fair Magic, then, you know, getting a turn three Perhelion. And
that's definitely an unfair thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's probably where I would, that's where my advice would be. I think I either play maybe like some Jeskai control, like the blue-white control, but lean more towards some red cards or or just build your blue-white control deck with, you know, hyper-aggressive cards in mind. Don't play too many big spells and, you know, don't necessarily play Jin Gataxias. Maybe play another spot removal spell or something over that. Yeah, be that sort of streamlined control deck because the benefit of
a really good shout actually because you pick up so many of those Minesweepers. So you've got Anger of the Gods, Deafening Clarion, and Sweltering Suns, all as like three mana, three damage sweepers, which hits a lot of the format from what we just looked at. And so if you can, you know, start stabilizing from turn three instead of four, it feels like a really big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially on the draw, which, you know, is obviously going to happen. So, yeah, something like that. So maybe there's a, you know, there's a, you want a combo type finish. I don't know if the,
well, you know, Ascendancy combo was a thing in Jeskai. When they just banned expressive iteration, it took a little bit of a hit.
So yeah, definitely.
Whether there's a way to rebuild that now or not, whether it's just that was too much of what the deck was about. But it was, look, it was a deck before that existed in the format, before iteration was a card. So I don't see why you couldn't make it still a deck again. And it may be that it's just, it's one of those things where people are like, oh, deck's unplayable now. It's like, well, it's actually not. Like, it's probably still really good. Like, you still
What about the, what's the big spell Shorty's been playing and getting back with the Gearhulks? The blue red.
Oh, Magma Opus.
Yeah, because turn two, discard it for a treasure. Turn three, Wrath. Like 4 mana Wrath is pretty good. Like, I'm not I'm not saying play Indomitable Creativity, but you can, you know, discard that and then get it back. And there's also the, like, yeah, you know, get it back on turn six with the,
you can flash it back with Dark Dwellers.
I think it's a, is there a mana cost?
There's a mana, yeah, I think it's three.
Yeah, something. Yeah, I think there is.
unlucky.
But definitely. But then there's also, you know, sometimes you just want to flash back a, you know, card draw spell as well. But
yeah,
the, there's a, oh, the card's escaping me. There's a, Totally Drawn a Mental Blank. It'll come to me probably halfway through our wrap-ups. But yeah, there's a lot of options, I think, with the to play Jeskai as a control deck. Is Pyroclasm in the format?
I don't think so. I think Pyroclasm's older.
But so, there's the 3-mana one with
there's the one that's just been a standard, which does one, and then you can kicker it for two.
Okay, yeah, that works. So, yeah, no, it's not legal there. But yeah, and then there's also the one with Foretell. Cost two to Foretell, but one to cast as well. So, yeah, so that probably not quite the droids we're looking for. You'd rather just, play. Although you could definitely hold up a, you know, a cheap counter. But, yeah, that's I'd be looking at that, or I'd be looking at just playing Greasefang or playing the Rakdos aggro deck, but having Invoke Despairs or something similar to prepare you for the mirror. That would be my advice.
Even if they're just in the sideboard, just that be able to go that little bit bigger, I think is a really good shout.
Yeah, it's really important to have a plan against that. And I think I saw a tweet earlier in the week. Someone might have shared it to our Discord, actually, where there was a 120-player event. And there was 18 Rakdos decks, 15 Phoenix decks, 11 Devotion, 8 Blue-White Control, 7 Rakdos Sack, 7 Heroic, 7 Lotus Field, 7 Mono Red. So, you know, if those numbers are even remotely indicative of the format, you know, make sure you got a plan against Rakdos mid-range. Make sure you can refill after they thought sees you and then put a clock on you and things, but doing it efficiently and a way to go over the top of them, or, you know, a way to beat the mirror if that's your jam.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I think that probably does it for the moment. As we were saying before, we have our Explorer League. If you haven't joined yet, you've got tonight
less than
24 hours to get into the league. Please do. We've got cash prizes on the line. It's always a lot of fun. We'll be playing Explorer for the next 3 weeks or so, and everything's run through our Discord. Free to enter. All you have to do is sign up and come hang out. And that is, as always, sponsored by the wonderful folks at Josh and Pat's MTG Bazaar. They really do let us make these events worthwhile for people to play in. We really appreciate their support. Otherwise, if you want to check us out, you can find us, you know, Magic Beans Cast all over the place. You know, we are Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, all those things. We will be streaming our league draw tomorrow night on Twitch. That's where Teferi's Puzzle Book comes in. I literally print out all the names, I chop them up and put them in a box, and we randomly draw them out and assign them into groups. We've currently got 44 players registered, which is a really good number. That's always a lot of fun. So, you know, we'll have to work out exactly how we split it up, but we usually end up playing, you know, 5 or 6 matches over 3 weeks. So it's not strenuous. There's not, you know, a whole lot you got to get done in a very short time. And we have people from all over the world playing. So if you are in the US or the UK or, you know, parts of Southeast Asia or New Zealand, you know, we've got people from South America that have played with us before. So we don't mind where you're from. We can always make time to, you know, jam some games over the weekend or in mornings or late nights. It's all good. We're all magic nerds together. So don't feel like you have to be in Australia to come hang out. We love to see you there. Otherwise, if you want to find me directly on Twitter, I am at @JoelHill_, and Chewy, you are?
At @ChewyMTG.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night on the stream. Take care, and we'll chat to you soon.